We meet three people in deep grief this morning. David, not yet a king, mourns the death of Saul and his son, David's beloved friend, Jonathan, of whom he says, "Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love was wonderful, passing the love of women." This is not a text that will be quoted by those claiming their religion and their gospel is under attack because of the Supreme Court at last made marriage equality the law of the land. But then, cowardly and unfaithful people have long resorted to religion to justify bigotry. If I am offending anyone, I do not apologize. For I believe that in time, when you have a child or a grandchild, a niece or a nephew, a dear friend or a loved one who is born to love differently than you love, then your love will move you to advocate on their behalf. And though it may take you a while, you will remember and appreciate this day, this Sunday, when many join with me in saying, "Praise God for this victory for all God's children." And you will join me in praying that Christians like us would raise up our voices to show the world that those who take the airways to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit do not represent the God of love that we serve. Love is love. God is love. Jesus Christ revealed God's love, and the religious people of his day killed him for it. I stand in, with, and through Christ, and I say, praise God that the United States of America has dignified all love as equal. I went out to lunch with friends this week, and we got to talking about the 74 bridge. Now, these friends have chosen to live on the Illinois side of the Mississippi, in part because they don't want to use the 74 bridge, the Centennial bridge, or risk getting stuck on the Arsenal bridge. Now, I don't want to promote fear, and I don't want to exacerbate anxiety that some of us struggle with when we drive across our bridges. But I'm fixing to do it. But this week, as I was driving across the 74 bridge, I found myself thinking about how I would get out of my pickup if the bridge collapsed while I was driving across. Putting aside the fact that I wouldn't survive the fall, what would I do? I'd probably cry. I'd roll down my window. Would I immediately jump out? Would I open the window and wait until the water had come in and then swim out the window? That's what they say you're supposed to do, isn't it? Would I try to open the door? But the water would probably be too heavy, right? I don't think that would work. If you can go there in your imagination, if you can feel the anxiety in your body, which I don't know about you, but I'm feeling it right now, you're feeling a kind of desperation that we meet in our readings today. David, desperate in grief over the loss of his beloved Jonathan, the person he loves more than anyone else, the person who knew him, who played music with him, who laughed with him and understood his inside jokes. This darling one is gone forever. Grief comes in like water in a window. The woman who had endured much, had spent all that she had, but was no better, but rather grew worse. She hears about Jesus in grief and in desperation. She reaches out and touches him "If I can but touch his clothes," she says in desperation, "then I will be healed." Jairus, the leader of the synagogue whose daughter dies, the loud weeping responses of the congregation draws Christ's attention. "Fear not," he says to the girl's parents, "for they are too desperate themselves to pray, too brokenhearted themselves to reach out for healing." He takes these parents to their daughter and tells her to get up, to be raised up, for she is only sleeping. The power of healing is born of desperation. It thrives in grief, in the lament of those bereft of love and companionship, those who cannot imagine the next minute, let alone a life void of the love and companionship of their dearly beloved. The power of healing is born of desperation. It thrives in grief, in the last effort of those whose life is flowing away from them, those who do not have other options, for whom reaching out and holding on will be their very last attempt at living. The power of healing is born in desperation. It thrives in grief, in the silence, those who cannot pray, who are unable to ask for or to receive help, who hear only numbly the words, "Be not afraid," whose hands must be held as they are led into grief, where they find the healing God intends for them. Last Sunday was a day of grief. We were united in it, not only through our sense of desperation over the assassination of Reverend Colenta Pinckney, and the massacre of 8 good people who welcomed and prayed with their killer for an hour, but also because we were asking what kind of a world we are leaving to our children, and also by our sense of the enormous burden borne by black pastors as they stepped into the pulpit to talk with their congregations in the wake of this awful tragedy. We provided an opportunity for the congregation to respond by contributing to an offering that we'll be sending to Mother Emmanuel, along with the cards the VBS children made for them. Now, I was out of the office on Monday. I had a great day, took a nice long bike ride, went grocery shopping. And on Monday, the counters come into the church to count the offerings, and so I sent a text asking that they let me know what the total gift was so I could start thinking about the letter that I was going to be writing to Mother Emmanuel. However, this past week, for whatever reason, the accounting didn't get done until Thursday, and I got a text saying that the congregation had contributed $485 to Mother Emmanuel. I was surprised. It's not a number that I was expecting. Well, I thought, how many people were in church last Sunday? 150 or so? Let's just say there were 200. That's math simple enough for an English major. Maybe everyone in the congregation contributed something. Maybe everyone brought a $2 bill into church. But I know that's not the case, because a dear friend came up to me after worship and said that he'd pulled a $50 bill out of his wallet and put it in an envelope and scribbled Mother Emmanuel. So 485 divided by 50, that's about 9.7. Maybe 10 people in the congregation contributed to the offering. But then again, maybe there was a sense of common purpose here last Sunday, and maybe a lot of people contributed something because of the common feeling of a shared purpose, a feeling that if each of us would give a small amount, it would add up to something greater an offering that we could send to First Emmanuel and say, we at First Congregational UCC Moline stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ at Mother Emmanuel. But then again, maybe last Sunday was also disorienting. We experienced something of the comfort God intends for us, and we receive that comfort. Maybe $485 says that we all know to be true. What we receive from God cannot be purchased or paid for. And the common shared experience we felt last week was indeed priceless. But then again, few people carry cash. If you're like me, you don't carry a checkbook. And so maybe last Sunday left us sort of unprepared. I know that I brought my checkbook today. I've already written out a check to contribute. And, of course, I had intended last week to contribute once I found out the total, because I have the luxury of doing that, waiting and seeing what other people will give before I contribute myself. Friends, this morning, I don't have a way to resolve questions and issues that lie before us. This is not that kind of a day. This is not this kind of a sermon. I must instead leave you with things to ponder, questions to live into, challenges of faith to be met with courageous action as we work out our response as Christians and as members of this church. My interest today is to talk about healing, about how God, through Christ, offers healing not only to Mother Emmanuel, but to us. About what it means to us to receive healing even as we participate in God's healing power that has been so beautifully shining forth from Mother Emmanuel this week. Now, I suppose the question might be asked, what do we need to be healed from? And why do we need healing? We don't have a Confederate flag here in the church. I doubt that people fly Confederate flags in their homes. We're a people who are appalled by racism, and we pray for Mother Emmanuel and hold her closely in our hearts. The answer to the questions, what do we need to be healed from and why do we need healing, these are questions we are called to ask and seek answers to personally and individually, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, with humility and with openness, asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and to make more of our lives and our faith than we can fathom. The power of healing is born of desperation. It thrives in grief. My concern for us as a congregation is that we begin to see the special gift of this moment and participate in healing and believe that if we touch grief, then we too will receive healing. That when we are as bereft as David lamenting the death of his beloved Jonathan, when we are as desperate as the woman who reaches out to touch Christ's clothes, when we are as brokenhearted and as empty as the parents Christ leads to their sleeping child, then we will be healed. My concern for us as a congregation is that we begin to see the joy and privilege of giving, of having something to contribute, a church and a congregation where we each offer all that we can, and thus, as a body, we are all more than we are as our individual parts. My concern is that the grief we feel, the grief those we love feel, the grief that person sitting next to us in the pew feels, all of this grief is common to us in this body. Dollar amounts don't matter in the end. What matters is that God's healing work is at work in the world, in Charleston, South Carolina, Moline, Illinois, as we, as individuals and as a congregation, have an opportunity to reach out and to touch Christ. So we end this Sunday with a prayer we ended with last Sunday, the prayer that we say as our last words each time we celebrate communion together. May our every prayer be an action that brings healing, reconciliation, and hope to a broken and hurting world. Amen.